As varied as our topography and soils, as rich as our resources, so varied and rich are the voices and stories of the folks around us. Come neighbor a bit with me, Sam Stroop. Grab a cup of coffee, pull up a comfy chair, let's get to talking. I'm going to talk to Gary Butch Dillon, Howard County Road and Bridge Supervisor, but everyone just calls him Dillon. That's spelled D-I-L-L-I-O-N. When I was elected to the commission, I told my dad, "How's this going to work, Dad? I don't know anything about roads and bridges." His reply, "Don't worry, Sam. Dillon's got that under control." And he was right. But most of the year, his adversary, Mother Nature, is showing her ugly side, trying to keep things out of control. Mud, dust, ice, snow, rain forming potholes, brush and weeds taking over the right-of-way, 7-inch rains washing out roads and bridges, 480 miles of county gravel roads, 9 men, $600,000 a year budget, a third of that goes for rock, a third for salaries, and a third for equipment and fuel. It's a constant war. Howard County's war zone is 400 square miles, about 20 miles by 20. How do you win that battle? Well, basically you don't. Just every day, you show up to work at the shop, you jump on your piece of equipment, you turn the key, and you take off. At the end of the day, have you achieved perfection? Hell no. But you've made significant improvement. And there are Howard Countyans who don't quite get that picture. They expect perfection every day, all year long, because their lives are so perfect. They sit around the coffee shop and, you bet, dump the blame of imperfection, you got it, on Butch Dillon. You know what? Just like his constant battle with Mother Nature, he can handle it. I'm in his camp. He is right up there as one of Howard County's most valuable assets. At age 15, he was driving trucks full of coal on the highways out of the Howard County strip mines. The county sheriff, his neighbor, knew he was underage, and they'd just wave at each other as they passed each other on the roads and highways. When Dillon was 26, Winston Hutzel admired the welding that Butch was doing on another scrap iron bridge across some unnamed creek and said to him, "Dillon, you're the new shop supervisor." That put him in charge of over 20 men. Dillon tells stories on Winston Hutzel. When the county would come up short, Winston, on more than one occasion, would make payroll out of his own pocket. When Winston was dying of cancer, Dillon was helping him get his cow herd up for liquidation. Job accomplished, Winston asked Dillon, "Well, what do I owe you?" "Nothing," Butch replied. Winston shook his head, took out two $100 bills, handed them to Dillon, and said, "Hang on to these, man, and you'll never feel poor." Dillon still carries them around with him in his billfold. He tells how Winston started the bulldozer flip game. He'd buy up to three big bulldozers at a time from state surplus for, let's say, somewhere between $8,000 and $15,000 apiece. They'd put a little repair work into them, work them hard. After 3 years, legally, they could be resold. They'd paint them up pretty, take them to auction. Those, let's say, $10,000 surplus purchases would bring $30,000 to $60,000, which would then go as profit back into the road and bridge budget. Po-folks use po-folk ways, and sure enough, they get the job done. Did I mention Dillon is a horse trader? And a master at it. Everything is to be haggled for, and it is fun to see him in action. I'd venture to say his yearly haggling results in savings to the county equal to a third or half of his annual salary. If you're dealing with Butch, you're going to get screwed. Maybe that's too strong a word. Maybe not. The 9 road and bridge men quickly got my full respect 4 years ago, and I theirs. Soon I went out and showed them their budget numbers, where their money comes from, where it goes. No one had ever done that before. I explained that all costs divided, we spend $2,400 per mile each year on our county roads. That's half of what Cooper County does. Are our roads great? Most of the time, yes. All the time, no. Rain, mud, ice, snow. But I'll put our roads up against anyone's. Interestingly, Mike Vroman just joined our crew last summer. He is a commissioner of the Armstrong Special Road District. But it's been a bad year for farming, and though the lymphoma that he suffers from is now in full remission, he needed to be sure he had health insurance, so he joined our crew. He told me one day, I had the idea that county boys were a little lazy, and boy, do I need to apologize. I was so wrong. I can't believe the amount of work we get done in a week. Grading, hauling rock, pushing and cutting brush, building bridges, dead tree removal, clearing and replacing drain pipes. I personally, as commissioner, would see a road problem, or someone would call with a complaint on a road, and I'd mention it to the guys. By the next day, it was always done. My son Jake is an engineer, and he worked roads for Marathon Oil in several places around the United States. His comment, $2,400 a mile a year? Dad, that is probably the lowest among the lowest cover costs in the country. And Dad, really, your roads here in the county are really pretty good. I enjoyed working with these nine guys for 4 years. Started out one day helping them pull out fiberglass insulation in the shop, for we decided to spray on 3 inches of foam insulation. It made that like a new building. The early 1960s bathroom in the shop could have been added to the list of historic or prehistoric Missouri buildings. It needed replacing, and we did it. We got the guys a monthly uniform stipend they could use any way they want, $25 a month. We got a dollar an hour raise for them. At around $15 an hour, any one of them with their skills could be making 2 to 3 times that much elsewhere. But this job fits in with their farming, their home every night, with their families, that is if there ain't a blizzard going on, and they take great pride in what they do for their county neighbors. Whoa, I've gotten a bit carried away here. Let's get to talking to Dylan. Well, I'm riding in a county truck with Dylan, and some of my best times and some of my worst have been riding with Dylan in the county truck, so we'll see how today goes. It's just not fun going out and see a bridge that's totally washed out.
That's right.
We've had those times together. Anyway, so we had 18 inches of snow.
Right.
Everywhere I stuck a measuring tape. That was on January 12th and 13th. Started on a Saturday and shut down Sunday morning.
Right.
When did y'all start cleaning up on that?
We started on a Sunday.
Already, huh?
Yeah. When it was starting to taper off, we started pushing, and we pushed for 27 hours straight.
Wow.
So, and it was probably the toughest, heaviest snow that we've ever pushed since I've been here.
Now, our road, he pushed once, and apparently he couldn't get deep enough because it was so heavy, and he came back.
We had to do the same thing.
I see. And you did that one right after the other, and that's what made the 27 hours.
Yeah, well, what took us so long, our road graders could get deep enough, but our tractors with plows on them and our trucks with plows on them couldn't get deep enough, and everything that we done with a tractor or a truck, we had to go back over. That's what took us. And we got stuck several times, so because it was muddy underneath.
Yeah.
And it was, at night, you could hardly tell where the roads were. And sometimes you get off the edge of the road and suck you off in the ditch and you'd be stuck, so.
Was that the trucks that were getting stuck, or the tractors too, or what?
The trucks and road graders.
Wow. Huh.
We had both stuck.
And so total, how many vehicles were out pushing?
We had 9 vehicles pushing.
And so everybody.
Everybody was pushing.
Everybody was pushing.
There's 9 of us, and all 9 of us was in the machine pushing.
other than getting stuck, how'd the equipment hold up?
The equipment held up pretty good. Busted several tire chains and had to replace a lot of tire chains, but other than that, the equipment itself held up good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all the spreaders were, did you spread that all then?
We came back and spread it after we got it all pushed off.
Okay.
On our last push, we had to push it two times with the trucks and tractors, and after we pushed it in, we went down through it and spread cinders in.
Yeah. So when guys work on a Sunday, then how does comp time work for them?
Anything after 8 hours is comp time.
Okay.
Is in the statute for Hyde County. Mm-hmm. We did that back in 93 because of the flood, and we was working 14, 16 hour days, so they had to make something after 8 so FEMA would pick up the comp time or overtime.
Yeah. And what is comp time? Time and a half or something?
It's time and a half.
Okay. Yeah. How is the cinder pile holding up?
We got in probably about 150 ton of cinders left. We went and started hauling sand in to mix with it. And if we get another big ice storm, we'll be out.
Huh. How many times have you been out working over ice with cinders and sand? Do you know? Can you remember even?
It's
probably six.
I think it's been six or seven times that we've been out pushing. We went through more cinders and sand this year than we've ever went through. But we've had more spreaders this year than we've ever had, too.
Yeah, yeah. Is it three spreaders now?
Three spreaders now.
Were people patient, or did you hear get a lot of phone calls?
For most part, people was pretty patient. Some people, had medical things that they had to get to the doctor or hospital, and we tried to take care of them people first.
Yeah.
And then we tried to get to the rest of them as fast as we could, but it wasn't fast enough for some.
Yeah, yeah. So is this rank right up there with one of the worst winters you've worked?
It'd be right at the top of one of the worst. It's probably one of the top two or three of the worst winters since I've been here.
Huh. Well, you know why this is happening. This is God's punishment for my not getting reelected.
Yeah. You had it easy when you was there.
Right.
You didn't have no big heavy snows.
So time to get Howard County.
Yeah, we had real mild winters for 4 good years there.
It really was, yeah. And I was dreading the other and snuck out.
Right. We got hammered this year.
Were there any accidents you're aware of on county roads? Much sliding in the ditches or anything?
I think there was some slide offs and some ditches. I know that there was 2 slide offs I know of. I don't think anybody was injured in any of them, but we had, 2 slide offs.
It's probably worse actually on the state roads.
State roads, when I come in the first morning from BB to H on O route, there was 5 slide offs.
Wow.
On it.
Wow. It seems like I should be able to answer this question, but I'm not sure I can. It's just, how does road and bridge work? Let me explain what I think I've seen. Is it kind of like a honeybee colony? Everybody just comes to work and they know what to do and they go out and do it. But every once in a while, I don't know if you've heard this, when a honeybee wants to communicate something to the rest of them, it does a little dance. So I'm assuming that once in a while you do a little dance?
Every now and then. But for most part, most of our guys have been with us for a while, and they know what areas to go. They play the same areas every time. I had 2 newer guys that's really never pushed before. 3 guys that's never really pushed snow. But they did. They fell right in and went. I sent them with somebody, and they fell right in. Everybody did, a very good job for the snow that we had.
So my honeybee story is about the way it works.
That's about the way it works.
That's good. Is the equipment we've got now better than what you worked with 20 or 30 years ago dealing with snow?
Yes, our equipment's a lot better. It's heavier equipment and it'll push more. When I first started, it was all hydraulic. I mean, it was all gear driven. Now we went to hydraulics on our blades. And some of our road graders, back when I first started, had pony motors on them that you had to start the pony motor to get the big motor to start.
Huh.
So it's a lot, our equipment's a lot better than it was 33 years ago.
And a little more expensive.
And a lot more expensive.
The first half of January wasn't too bad. Were you able to work with on potholes at all then?
We got some pothole work done. We got some hose ripped up, but since it's done the freezing and thawing, they're back, and we're gaining more potholes every day because of the freezing and thawing that we're going through. And it's going to be that way till the frost all comes out of the ground, and probably it'll be 3 weeks after the frost comes out of the ground that it'll take for the potholes to be getting took care of,
yeah,
to back on track like we want to be.
So we'll just have to see when those rainstorms stop coming off from the Pacific and heading our way.
That's true.
Just before all this mess, roads were starting to thaw, and on our road it was like riding on jello. You just feel it give and then come back after you've gone off it.
Right. That's that frost. When the frost pumps up out of the ground with that moisture, we got that rain on top of it.
Yeah.
And when we get a rain on top of it, it pulls the frost up out of the ground. And then it just makes it all soft, because last summer it was so dry, we had no moisture in the ground. And then we got that rain right there before the snow hit and got a little moisture in the ground. Now the ground's just pumping from the frost coming up and down in
it. Yeah. What was weird too was the surface, we hadn't had a lot of moisture, it was cracking, but then underneath was this jello effect.
That's right.
It was pretty strange. You still got a tank car sitting on 306?
No.
Was that the road?
No, it's 306 is put in.
Wow.
102, we still have the tank car sitting there.
Okay.
On the dead end road,
yeah,
there. We're still,
yeah,
got it.
I throw this term around. I'm not sure a lot of people know what I'm talking about when I say a tank car bridge. Can you explain what that is?
We take the bridge out, and usually we put in a rail car that's be 9 foot 8, 9 foot 9 in diameter and 40 to 70 foot long. Just depends on how much fuel we have to put over the tank car to get the road surface back up drivable. So it's 24 foot on the top.
How big an acreage can a tank car bridge handle before you have to go to a cement bridge?
Most of the time we go out to the ASCS office, and they'll tell us how many acres it drains, and that's how we know what size tank car. And whenever you get over 300 acres on, and it depends on the ground if it's flat or level, or we got mostly hills and some of it's kind of mountainous over by Glasgow, so that there gets down to about 140 in the mountainous areas. So when it gets over that, we got to go to a concrete bridge.
I remember an article in the Fayette newspaper probably 20, 25 years ago pointing out that y'all started using tank cars. Would it have been that long ago?
It was like 90, I'm going to say like 91 when we first started putting tank cars in, because we was building bridges. When I first come here, I came here to build bridges for the county. And we started building bridges, and then we started checking into the tank cars and where we was getting, where we could put tank cars in. There weren't enough drainage, enough water where we could get it, where the road wouldn't flood. We went to tank cars.
Were we one of the first counties around to do tank cars, or were we just following the leader?
There was nobody in our area at the time. Randolph County had started putting them in about the same time we had started putting them in. But I don't know about Cooper or Boone about them, but I know right in this area we was one of the first ones that started putting them in.
I think we're up to 200 tank car bridges in the county?
Yeah, we're up to, I want to say there's about 180.
Okay.
180 tank cars, and we built, since I came, we've built 88 bridges.
Huh. 88 cement bridges, you mean?
Well, some of them, when I first started, we was building wooden bridges, and then we switched over to concrete bridges.
Okay. How many tank car bridges last year? Was it six?
Six tank car bridges last year.
That's a lot.
That's a bunch.
I was privileged to watch you all putting the one in on what's called Moonshine Road, not too far from where we're at now. Where'd we get that tank car from? Can you tell us about that?
We was lucky enough, the water district had a water tire that they wanted took down, a standpipe, and they got with the county commissioners and they worked it out, and all we had to do was take it down, and they gave the standpipe to the county, and then we took it and put it over a bridge out and put the pipe in.
How'd you get it down?
I wasn't there the day they took it down, but they said they had a guy come over with a boom bucket and put cable up on it, and then the guys cut the bottom part off, and they pulled it over with a backhoe.
You can see there's some fresh rock on the hill that just came up.
Yeah.
John was a little frightened when he got the phone call saying putting that on, but it turned out okay. He's still alive, and there's rock on the hill.
Yes, he was lucky.
It's a bad hill because it doesn't get any sunshine.
No, none at all.
And it was a mess. I don't know. Folks probably could have lived without it because my answer was, John, get two road closed signs.
go out the other way.
Right. One at the top, one at the bottom. Make them drive out of the way a mile.
Yeah, it's a mile out of the way.
But we work to please in the county, don't we?
Try to.
Can you guess how long a tank car bridge will last before it starts rusting and caving in?
We've been using them 20-some years, and they told us the life of them, when we first did it, it's on the soil to see how much salt and stuff is in the soil, but most of them will last 75 years.
Wow, that's good.
So that's what the lifespan of them should be.
I was around when y'all put a tank car in south of Fayette, and then a heavy rain came and blew out. What causes that?
Well,
heavy rain.
Well, the dirt was so dry we couldn't get no compaction, and I think it was in there like 2 days, and we got like a 6-inch rain, and it hit it all at one time and just blowed the pipe out and took the pipe down the creek, and we had to get a backhoe and dozer down and pull the tank car back to where it needed to be and re-put it back in. And we had enough moisture in then that it packed and stayed there.
Enough moisture, huh?
Enough moisture.
Well, that was one of the ugly trips.
Yeah.
As I recall, when it blew out, it left a big clob of mud inside it that like quadrupled the weight.
Yes.
How'd you get all that mud out?
Well, we got pumps, and we took pumps and we washed the mud out, all the mud that we could out with pumps. To wash it out at one end, we just kept working on it, hosing it out with high pressure hoses till we got the mud pushed out to where we could pull it back up the creek.
Ho hum, another day, another disaster.
That's the way it works.
Let's talk about the cement bridges that go in. What are the average cost on those devils?
They're all about $300,000.
Wow. How's the county afford those?
Well, we built enough bridges. We got what they call soft match money. We built enough bridges of our own that we get soft match money. And so we have to pay for the 20% of it, and we do the in-kind work, is what they call it. We'll take the bridge out, prep the spot, the site, lay the riprap on the banks, and then when they get the bridge done, we'll put in the rest of the field. And most of the time it's 9 to 10 foot of field that they have to put in because they raise the bridges that much for them.
Yeah. You know, we hear federal money coming back to the county, like, oh, wow, a gift. No, that's just our federal gas tax coming back our way.
That's true.
It's our money.
That's true.
It's no freebie. How did you feel about the defeat in the state of the 10-cent gas tax? Were you in favor of that, or how'd you?
I was in favor of it myself because I could see what it could do to help the county. Because our budget, as everybody kind of knows, and you know, because you was there to see the budget, that we're kind of short. And if we don't do something, we're going to have to, if that don't pass, I'd say in another 5 or 6 years, we're going to have to do another check into something if the state don't come up with a solution to a tax.
Yeah, wasn't there a certain percentage of the tax that was supposed to come back to the counties?
Yes, 3% of that.
30, wasn't it?
30% yeah. of it was coming back to the county and cities, and then they split it up. Hmm.
So it got defeated. That's the second time they put it before the voters.
That's right.
And went down. I heard Governor Parson's State of the State address. And he said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to squeeze more efficiency out of MoDOT and come up with $300 million doing that. And I thought, boy, they've been squeezed how many years now?
Yes.
And then he wants to work on 400 bridges with that. And as I recall, somebody was telling me that the I-70 bridge needs maintenance that could cost $600 million alone. And then he said, well, we're going to come up with 50-50 cost share on infrastructure and roads. In other words, any little project the county comes up with, we'll pay half if they'll pay the other half.
Right. It's hard for us to come up with the 50%.
Right. Well, that's better than Trump's infrastructure. He was going to give us 20% if we'd come up with the other 80. So I guess we're going in the right direction. Anyway, it's all good. I've got a question for you on just what is a county road. You know, we put a ton of work, and mainly work, into that Moonshine Road I was talking about. How come it gets attention, whereas I'd call them kind of rural subdivision roads. We'd say that's not a county road, and they don't get any attention. Can you explain that?
What makes it a county road? What makes it a county road, it's got to be, it either was grandfathered in as a county road. If you build a subdivision, it's got to come up to a vote of the people. They have to pass out, get so many signatures, and then they bring it to the county commissioners. And if the road ain't built up to standards where it has a 24-foot top, 3-inch layer of rock on it, they can turn it down. And they can turn it down if it does have, if they don't want to take the road over.
Uh-huh. So any road could become one if they bring it up to specs, and then they get 21 people in the neighborhood to petition to make it a county road.
Right.
Then the commissioners decide.
Those commissioners are the deciding point.
I think a lot of these so-called rural divisions, the developers just don't want to put the money into bringing the roads up to those kind of standards.
And that's what a lot of them, they don't bring them up to standards, so they become, and they want to turn them over to the county, but they can't because they didn't build them wide enough to start with.
Yeah. So there keeps being talk. We're on a state road now. Looks to me like the potholes are still kind of full of ice, but I know this road good enough. The edges are coming off, and I'm seeing potholes developing on Highway 5.
There's potholes on Highway 5, 240. Every blacktop has potholes, but they've just been kind of like, I guess they have no money, they say, to fix them. So
I kind of thought maybe they were just leaving them awful till that last election to see if maybe people would give them some money if the roads were awful, but that election's over and they're still awful. So
it's true.
There keeps being talk by some legislators of giving all the lettered asphalt roads in the counties back to the counties for us to maintain. I'm sure you'd be real excited about that.
Yeah, we went to a meeting in Jeff City, I guess it'd be 5 years ago, and they were saying that they couldn't no longer take care of the blacktop roads, and if they didn't get a tax passed, they would want to turn them back over to the county. And no way the county could afford to take care of the blacktop and the gravel roads.
What I'm noticing on these, like this one here is JJ, and if you're going at any speed, it tries to throw you right off the road.
Right.
And you better stay around 45 or 50, or you could be in the ditch pretty easy. Can a road with all those waves in it even be fixed?
It can be fixed, but they're going to have to put probably 5 inches of hot mix on top of it to get it leveled back out to like to where it should be.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
No easy answers.
No.
When you have a legislature that won't do anything and the voters don't want to pass it because we're all feeling hurt in the pockets. So
right.
We'll see. If a road like this gets no attention, how many years before it's impassable?
It just depends on the winters and how much hard of winters they have pushing up and down them, and the edges of the roads are starting to bust off it. So we got some blacktop roads in the county that's almost that point now.
Yeah. I kind of figure there's about 110 miles of asphalted roads in Howard County. How many miles of gravel roads do you think we have?
We got total, I think there's 486 gravel.
And I read somewhere, I think maybe Successful Farming, they were talking about how Iowa has chipped up some of the blacktops the counties have. And it costs them about $6,000 a mile to convert an asphalt road to a gravel road. I expect Howard County could do it cheaper. But we really don't want to have to find out.
We hope we don't ever have to find out.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of information you just laid on us, boy. Are you staying healthy?
Hope so. Hope I'm still healthy.
You got any New Year's resolutions you're working on?
No, I didn't make none, so I didn't have to break none.
Yeah. Well, listen, I really appreciate your taking this time to give us some information for the folks in the county. I know they're going to appreciate it. And, you know, you and I just don't get much time together anymore. A little bit of time I have, I spend drinking and gambling and playing cards and scrapping. And you don't do any of those things, so we don't have anything in common.
Right. So
maybe we'll get more time together when we both get to heaven, if that's where we're headed.
Hopefully that's where we go.
All right, thanks again, Dylan.
All right, thank you.
An article in a farm magazine I get called Successful Farming was full of information on rural U.S. roads. The American Society of Civil Engineers gives the U.S. a C+ on the condition of our bridges. They state that most bridges are designed to last 50 years. The average age of U.S. bridges is 43 years. This ASCE explains that while not necessarily unsafe, older bridges need more maintenance, rehabilitation, and eventual replacement of load-carrying elements. Iowa is seen as a state with the worst bridges in the United States. They have 5,000 bridges, and 20% of their bridges that are now labeled structurally deficient. 98% of these bridges in poor shape are either county or city bridges. Missouri is seen as the fourth state with the highest number of potentially dangerous bridges. The ranking is Iowa the worst, then Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Missouri, and then Nebraska. Iowa just passed a 10-cent increase to their gasoline tax to help deal with their problem. A recent federal study estimates a backlog of bridge projects at $123 billion. Again, referencing the civil engineer study, they gave U.S. roads a D grade, D as in dog grade. One of every 5 miles of paved roads is in poor condition. The backlog on highway repairs totals $420 billion, as seen by the Civil Engineering Group. The World Economic Forum ranks U.S. roadways as 10th in quality worldwide. Missouri has had the same gas tax rate for 20 years, 17 cents a gallon. Due to increased fuel efficiency of our vehicles, funding for Missouri Department of Transportation is actually decreasing. Our legislature refuses to come up with new approaches to transportation infrastructure funding. They keep pushing those decisions on the electorate, who also reject the proposals. The results are continued deterioration of Missouri's paved roads and slow repair work on our bridge systems.